the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it happened.
Welcome to the Maroos Magic Supercoach Podcast, round 24, grand final week for those pushing up the top in leagues, whatever you're doing, and it'll talk through all the tactics on how to best play this last round of the year. Tommy, g'day Tommy.
How's it going, mate?
I'm good, good. As I said before, I think from last week we were kind of getting a bit over the season, a bit dragged out. Didn't help them. I had a bad round Supercoach wise, but I felt like the weekend just gone had so many news stories in the footy sense that got me back excited and then into finals. So should be good. Obviously, poor Supercoach to me, talk about that in a bit, but poor showing from the Bombers. Probably you don't feel those same sentiments towards looking to finals.
Not really. I'm conditioned to be continuously let down by the Bombers. After about 10 minutes, I knew what was coming, and I couldn't help but laugh, really. I just went and cooked some dinner, and it was a depressing evening. But that's just being a Bomber supporter over the last 20 years. So you cop it on the chin and you expect it, and hope things will turn around one day. But I don't see there being much improvement coming, at least in the next couple of years.
And then Supercoach-wise, you obviously had Libba out, had to play cover. Who was your cover in the end, and how did you end up faring?
Johnson from Freo, which I thought he scored a little bit harsh. But all in all, it was a really good week for me. Obviously, Libba out, having Jono as the cover wasn't ideal. But apart from that, Rosie scoring a 75, and then the next lowest was an 83 from Sicily. And then I think my next lowest was Neil on 97. So on Timmy T on 96. That was a really good round for me. So not too many complaints from a Supercoach front. Scored a 25.90, brought me up 25 spots. And now I'm sitting at 115. And I think it's around 30, 35 points behind the top 100. So really easily within reach to get there, which is always kind of the really pointy end of the goal for Supercoach. So happy with where things sit, and hopefully I can nail that captain this week. I was pretty fortunate to have Marshall and Libba being out, allowed me to use that loop, but then obviously Bont went massive, but I think I would have ended up on Timmy English anyway, so worked out for me in the end. How did you fare?
Yeah, it's funny how it works. Probably the point difference between English and Bont might have been the same as what it would have been from Johnson to Libba anyway. If you didn't have that fullback. So I didn't have the fullback. Put in the insights that I've got red dots coming out of my ears, particularly the backline. There might have been more this week we'll speak about in a bit. And still couldn't land a VC on the Saturday night. Had to pull one earlier. Couldn't even do it on the Saturday afternoon. So I went with Dunkley VC into, which I was actually happy when he was sitting on about 90 at three-quarter time. I was like, he's going to finish with 120 here and be that annoying have to make the decision. So I was actually quite happy that he had the low VC score so I could pull the trigger on a Bulldog. And as I mentioned to you last week, after English scored a 140 Supercoach on less than 100 fantasy the week before against Hawks, I thought, well, against West Coast, he's going to score 140 fantasy and that could be a 180. The 140 fantasy happened, but obviously hit out to advantage, didn't go his way. Slow starts, the 120. So gave up a few points there. Obviously gave up the points with a donut. And no Sinclair. So all that combined, I was about 100 short of you, 24.72, which I'm now 227th for the season, which looks like if that same thing happens, I should still be able to hold on to a top 500 result with, yeah, three rounds of donuts. But well, who knows, seeing all these Geelong players out this weekend, it sounds like O'Sheen Mullen might come for reprieve and I might see my 22 players this week, but then again, who knows what's going to happen with Will Day after he didn't play the full last quarter. So enough about our teams. Obviously, the top 100 milestone's a massive goal for you, and hopefully you can knock that on the head. We've still got a few coaches in the hunt, whether it's top 10, even pushing up towards the top. And I know a lot of coaches still have that one trade left. I know lots don't, but if they do, we're just going to go through a few tactics, how we would use it. If we had that one trade for that Hail Mary type move, VC captains sort of thing. This will be the last of the official podcast. We'll do one next week after the rounds oh, the season's done, just to talk through the final summary and the learnings and a few things leading into early on to next year. In terms of memberships, they all automatically get cancelled from Friday, so no need to send through anything about cancellations. They don't auto-renew. You have to join back up again next year. So nothing to do on your end, but you'll still have access to the site over the off-season and the podcast, which we'll do next week. But, Tommy, obviously you haven't got a trade left, but I think the best way to do it will be run through each line like we have been doing the last few weeks, and if you did have that trade, how you'd action it. So well, for me, I'm pretty bullish in using it in the ruck department. You're pretty bullish in using it in the forward department, but let's start with the back. So if you are trying to play catch up, is there a move you could do in defence where you think you'd action this week if you had that trade?
Not really. I guess, obviously, maybe you're a Zeeble owner, you jumped on not knowing that he was going to miss the last game. That'd probably be, obviously, someone that you'd be getting off. But really looking at the defenders, there's not really anyone that screams, trade me out, because I could really hurt you in the last round. And on the other, side of the coin, there's not really anyone that screams that they could have a really high ceiling game, apart from probably Jordan Dawson coming up against West Coast. And I think in terms of those that are playing at the pointy end of the rankings, or for cash leagues, I think you'd be pretty highly owned. And then, yeah, I don't think there's anyone really to be moving off. Maybe a Caleb Daniel, but obviously he's 400k, so that's a really big leap to try and get up. So I think it's like there's certainly moves there. There's a couple of players that are really poor performers, but I think it's going to be really difficult for anyone to get up to someone that's going to be a difference maker. And I feel like they're probably going to be more relevant on other lines. Obviously there's the Will Day potential injury and not getting up on the weekend. And then obviously if you've got a trade, that's an absolute no-brainer. And there's some really good options. I think Dan Houston presents as a really good option against Richmond. They do give up points, they leak points. He's got that really high ceiling. Obviously the 63 on the weekend isn't great, but you look at his scores throughout the season, they're either massive or they're sort of really mediocre. There's no really in between for him, so I think he presents as an option to have a really high scoring game against Richmond.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Hopefully Will Day does get up, but you might be forced. It's not like looking at it that any of those highly owned guys are going to be threatened by a tag. I think it was the writing was on the wall with Melksham tagging Sicily last week. So say if this was the Melbourne matchup and you potentially could do something there given his price and given he's owned by seven in the top 10 and you want to make it a bit of a difference maker. But Frio, although Houston didn't score great on the weekend, it's not like they gave any extra attention to the defenders. I know Bailey Banfield's done something in the past on Tom Stewart, but he's done an AC joint. He's out for this week. So I don't know if they've got the player who can play that Melksham-type role on Sicily, despite the fact that it's the blueprints there that teams should be shutting down Sicily, how important he is to the Hawks, but I think he's going to get away. Obviously, Nick Newman's a form defender in the comp and so lowly owned. None of the top 10, six of the top 100. So if you want to do a bit of a Hail Mary, if you're in the top 10 with a trade up your sleeve, potentially that's an avenue, but as I said, those the clear top six being a Dawson, a Stewart, a Sinclair, even a Sheasel, nine of the top 10. Like these guys are all going to score you great this week, so I don't think you want to be jumping off any of those highly owned ones. It might be players in other areas, so that could well be the midfield. So as it currently stands, four of the top 10 have Sarong, eight of the top 10 have Brayshaw. We've seen what Finn McGuinness can do the last 3 weeks. He's going to definitely go to one of the two of them. I do believe it's going to be Sarong. So if I was a Brayshaw owner and I had a trade up my sleeve, I don't think I would use it on Brayshaw thinking the Finn tag will come. Xavier pulled up a pretty good stat from their game earlier in the year where I think Brayshaw had something like 34 touches and a goal and got the six coaches' votes, and Sarong got nine coaches' votes with 26 or 27, and the way it went is Longmuir gave Brayshaw five, which means Sam Mitchell gave Brayshaw the one, and Zay's gets stuck into Brayshaw a bit about the way he plays and how he's a lot more outside than he's noted to be. He thinks he's a little bit overrated. So I'm almost certain that he goes to Sarong. There's nothing to jump at Shadow Zeb. If he were to jump to one, you see it in the past. Once a player gets tagged and then they get off the leash the week after, they put up a monster. And I don't think Swans will tag Oliver, even though they did try to run Mills with Dawson on the weekend. I think if I had a trade in the midfield or if I had a Sarong, I would definitely look at going a Sarong to a Clary Oliver if you had that extra cash and have that big point of difference, knowing that only four of the top 100 do have Clary. Where do you think Finn will go, Tommy? And do you think they will tag Oliver?
That's a brilliant start from Dave. I think that's where I feel like it would go, and I feel like it probably should go. Obviously, Brayshaw's on the outside. And really, when you sort of look at what the way Freo could match up if Brayshaw gets tagged, there's a number of players that can fill in and play an outside role. Where Sarong is at the coalface, we've seen Finn go to Libba over Bont, obviously maybe a little bit to do with Bont being really hard to tag, but Libba's that coalface. He gets the ball at the source and he feeds it out. And obviously there's a number of players that's going to be fed out to, but he's so damaging getting his first hands on it. So I think that's pretty, like if I have to put money down, I certainly think he'd be going to Sarong, and it makes me feel happy as a Brayshaw owner. And yeah, I think looking at the players to bring in, like you're talking, it's a last trade. It's either to win either a cashy or grand final in head-to-head, or it's to make a pretty significant climb up the rankings. And you've got to really highlight matchups, but also point of differences against those around you. And Clary certainly presents that. Obviously, still very expensive, but at the same time, he's that one that can go massive and he's going to be a massive point of difference against the competition. I think he's the type of player that you certainly want and would love to have in your side, and the fact that you might be the only one around you in the ranks or the only one in the head-to-head that can have him. It's a massive, increase in potential points that no one else can get. So I'd certainly be jumping on the Clary Oliver train if I could.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm not worried about the Mills tag. I think the way Mills is going at the moment and travelling and the body and the way Clary's just going to be on a man possessed after the weekend and only getting 14 possessions, I think he's not going to be able to keep up with him anyway. Other options, if you were, like I think if you have a trade up your sleeve and you're a Sarong owner, I would be using that trade on that over any other luxury trades in other lines. We'll talk about some high ceiling players in the next couple of lines in a bit. Other options, I think the Dog Boys, well, they're big scorers at the best of times. They lost to West Coast and you still saw a 162 from the Bont and a 120 from Treloar, but Libba coming back, I know always a bit suspect players first up from a concussion, but the Geelong Cats, their midfield's been depleted all year, or it's a pretty weak midfield, and their whole team, by the sounds of things, are pretty depleted with Hawkins and Cameron not playing. No Blitzarves, they're going to play a few rookies there. They're out of contention. So I think Libba comes into the equation for a Sarong straight to Libba. Could be a nice move. I think he ate up on the Cats last time they played as well. And then it's just those names mentioned last week where at least you can know you're certain to avoid the tag, and whether that's a Rory Laird against West Coast, you'd imagine he's going to go very big. Tommy Green's just getting it done quite comfortably at the moment, 125 in his last three since returning, and we'll talk next week about eyes on 2024, but I know we picked it on this year and it didn't quite come through, but I think he's got every chance to be a top couple scorer in the comp, I think, next year, Tommy Green. Obviously, the LDU didn't cover that at the start. That was very rough for owners, particularly those who jumped on from a Dacos or even from a Lib. I hoped he could do the reverse trade in time, but I know that old Benny, who's up there top, he had the LDU from the Dacos, so that is very unlucky, and hopefully he comes back this week. But knowing that North have to lose the game to get that number one pick, I actually doubt he will come back. Any other mids who you think would be in consideration, or it's Oliver if you can get him? If you can't, it's probably a Libba.
Yeah, it's certainly Oliver if you can get him. Or Libba. I really like Libba, but I guess just given the fact that they're so close in price, I'd take Oliver just with the concussion. I also like Zach Butters, who's been in some really good form But at the same time, at that price range, if you can get there as Oliver, pretty far and away. And then, yeah, I think looking at matchups, it's the Dawson, if you don't have him, or the Laird, that could potentially go really high against West Coast.
So I mentioned if my first move, if I had a trade left and I was a Sarong owner, would be a Sarong trade to someone. If I had a Brayshaw, I'd still hold, and I wouldn't use mine in the midfield. We've seen all year that midfield, any given midfielder on their day in the right role can score that big score. It's the ruck where I would be using that trade. And while Marshall's come home with an absolute head of steam, I think he's averaged in his last three, 135, Gorn 102. Last five is 128 to 120. Last three, 135 to 102. After I was very big on, if you have the cash, do that Marshall to Gorn switch. Marshall just, he's eyeing off an All-Australian at the moment. He's playing some great footy, which is good for owners. And obviously he's very highly owned. Everyone in the top 10 have him. 94 of the top 100, 88 of the top 1,000. Comes up against a big O, which bit of a myth that he's pretty restrictive this year. He's been giving up a fair few points the last few weeks. If you just watched them last week, Darcy Cameron was eating up on him in the first quarter and a half, and then on comes Mason Cox, who's also eating up on the big O. So he's out of form, the big O. So it's not like it's a tough matchup. It's just that the Saints are locked into finals. We've seen Ross rest players in the past, albeit that was before the pre-final bye, but they're so reliant on Rowan Marshall. Talk about him being banged up all year. I know he's maybe got an eye on the All-Australian, but I wouldn't be surprised to see if the game's out of reach, or even if it's not, Ross just pull up stumps on a Rowan Marshall in a game when they're already locked into finals. And if it's a matter of him getting subbed off halfway through the third and scoring a 70, and you can jump to a Max Gorn who's playing Sydney, we all know what their ruckman give up, and he comes out and gets a 140, that 70-point swing can be a huge, as you said, you're outside the top 100, 30 points into it. That one move will get you right into that sort of top 100 territory. So that's where I would be using my ticket. Your thoughts on the rucks?
Yeah, I guess, like, obviously Marshall, like you said, there's a risk around managing him. He's so integral to what Saints do. If he was to go down, that really impacts their ability to go deep into September, probably more than any other player on their list. So that, and they don't really need to risk him. So I think that's certainly something to keep an eye out for. I think with Gorn, obviously, it's a huge ceiling potential, but they're kind of in a bit of the same boat as well, which is one thing I would sort of, it would make me nervous about bringing him in, but he's certainly out of the players that can make massive jumps and massive point gains. He's certainly one of the best options. But obviously coming up against Sydney, they're basically ruckless. He's got a really easy matchup. Grundy's come in, but he's played forward. I think this is the last chance that they've got to experiment with the way that looks in the seniors, which would make me a little bit nervous. But apart from that, I think, you know, if he's playing ruck and he has the same role that he's had over the last few weeks, he's going to put up a monster score. That's just no ifs, ands and buts about it. And even if he goes forward, he can still snag goals. Even if that ratio comes down a little bit, I think he's still fine for scoring. So it's certainly a really good option, and I definitely wouldn't talk anyone out of it.
Yeah, and then in terms of captain options, Tim English has that nice matchup versus the ruckless Cats this week too, which we can speak about options depending where you're going. Obviously, we're talking Hail Marys if you're behind. If you're in your grand final for a cash league, or if you're trying to protect a top 1,000 finish or top 100 finish, top 10 finish, and you can't reach that next milestone of either winning or cracking the top 10, then certainly use those ownerships to your advantage, and it's just getting that common player. So if you're the only one in the top 10 without an English, then maybe that's your jump if you can afford it. So you just try to match off those players behind you to limit the chances of you getting caught. But I imagine most are playing that catch-up game, in which case I really like that Marshall to Gorn move. It's the forward line where all the chat's been, and none more so than a Tex Walker. We've talked two players about it could be an argument against getting in a Marshall and then even a Gorn, given they're in a dead rubber and they've got eyes on finals. I think the only good thing to come of that goal umpiring error on the weekend means that Crows can't make finals. They've got nothing to play for except for a Tex Walker-Coleman. We saw it a couple of years ago when GWS were playing Gold Coast and Jezza kicked the 10 versus Gold Coast in the final round to get the Coleman. I know the winner of AFL Fantasy that year got in Jezza Cameron for that game and it ended up getting him the chocolate. So we certainly could see history repeat itself with the Tex Walker versus West Coast soft matchup. Could kick a big score. I'm just cautious a little bit with Hearn's last game, Shuey's last game, and there's this another one for West Coast who's hanging them up. Home ground, they've come off a big win. They don't care about losing anymore because they've lost Harley Reid. I got in my draft comp. I got in Jamari Ugahagan last week thinking he's going to kick a bag. I think he kicked one and was kept to 35 fantasy points. I actually dropped Jesse Hogan for that move, who scored the 100 and or fantasy wise 188. And I've told the story for the fantasy, people won't have heard it, but the player I played in the prelim picked him up off the waivers. He played Hogan, got his 188 when it should have been my 188. I then played Ugahagan for his 35 and I lost the prelim by a couple of points. So anyway, I'm actually not as bullish on a Tex. I watched the way this Tommy Cole played Jamar, and I reckon he's going to have the Tex match up. Then again, he's a different beast, the Tex. He can do it from everywhere. He doesn't just rely on his goals close to goal. He gets up the ground, takes his mark. So what do you think he's going to score this week, the big Texan?
Look, it's going to be either massive or not, and really low. I think if you're going to bring in Tex as the Hail Mary, like the perfect opportunity is kind of as that loop. That might be difficult depending on, like, obviously he played Saturday night. So, like, if you had a Mills, for example, who's obviously performing below and he's that swing and you've got the swing still because of injuries, he could be a good shout to sort of move off Mills, bring in Tex Walker and then use him as a loophole. Or if you got Darcy Cameron there, obviously, Cox took the majority when he came on as a sub. Which was quite funny because they were copping a bit of flack, Collingwood, as having him as a sub, and then he came on and dominated. So I think that's probably more of the play that I would do with Tex Walker. I don't think, especially if you're like, if it's part trying to catch up, but also wanting to hold rank and not ruin your round, because Tex Walker could do both of those things, help you catch up or ruin your round. I think looking at him as a sort of Hail Mary loop would be a really good play for him.
Yeah, so whether it's around that same price point, the Darcy Cameron, which I've got as a loop at the moment, so say if I had a trade, I'd be able to do that easy straight swap, same price point, hopefully do it as the loop. Other players around that price, so imagine Jack McRae, who's already out for this week with concussion. I know a few, 16 of the top 100, 16% of the top 1,000 have him. And talk about sliding doors, I was very close to getting him over Rosie about 6 weeks. I can't believe what Jack McRae has been dishing up. But if you're a Jack McRae and you've got a trade, you've got the option around that price point to go to a Tex Walker or a Sam Flanders, who has North Melbourne, who are trying to lose, comes off a 130 looking great. You still shooting for the lights with Tex, or it's Flanders who has equal amount of uniqueness about him but also showing a big ceiling?
That's a really good point. Flanders is certainly safer. He's much safer, and I guess it depends on what the goal is. If you wanted to make up 80 points, if I'm playing head to head in a grand final, I'm going Sam Flanders every single day of the week for the safety. But I think if it is like you're sitting in 16th and you're trying to get to the top 10, or you're sitting in 150th and you're trying to make the top 100, I think I'd probably go the Tex route, because the difference between, you know, not making the top 10 coming 16th or 25, there's not a whole lot of difference, or same as if you're going to come 95th or 150 or 180. Like, there's not a whole lot of difference. I think that's worth the risk. But if I'm playing head-to-head in a league matchup, I think Flanders is the safer bet. And I think, you know, there's certainly a time to play the straight bat for sure, and that would be one of those.
So then other players then, so say you don't have those sort of weaker options, which are an easier trade. Say you are trying to play catch up and the forward line's been pretty similar for coaches all season, like Errol Goulden's owned by 99% of the top 100. There's a Connor Rosie, same, who's got the easy matchup versus Richmond. Butters has that easy matchup versus Richmond. Dunkley has St Kilda, who give up points, albeit he's in pretty poor form, but gives up points. Cogs has hit his form again. And then Taranto, if you've got that common forward line of a Goulden, Rosie, Butters, Dunkley, Cogs, Taranto, and you wanted to jump off one of those highly owned players, is it Taranto with his last 5 of 88 and coming up against Port Adelaide to finish?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty clear, a clear sort of worth in that category. Like, he's been disastrously out of form. He's been, you know, even the games where he's been fine, the footy, obviously he turns it over at such a high clip that the risk that he's going to put up a 70 or worse is the greatest out of that lot. So yeah, I think he's certainly the one to move off.
Have you got concerns of Luke Jackson up against a Reeves who beat Tim English 2 weeks ago and beat Max Gorn last week?
He's definitely 100% going to lose the hit out. I think that's pretty obvious, but it's the work he does around the ground that he could boost his scoring. Even going back prior to that massive score, 8,793, when he's been playing in the ruck. So I'm not too concerned about his scoring output. I certainly don't expect 110 plus from him, but I also don't expect that to sort of go under 85. So I certainly picked him for the last two rounds and he quite hasn't hit that expectation that I hoped from him, I'm not too concerned that the score is going to be horrible.
Oh, he's gone back-to-back 120s, which I don't think you can scoff at too much, especially when you're tossed up between an LDU.
Yeah, it was. And I guess Butters was kind of that third, fourth option, who's obviously outperformed both of them pretty significantly. So that was the only, probably the thing that I'm looking at, but I was never seriously considering bringing him in. So, no, I'm very happy with Jackson and I'm not too concerned about what his output's going to be this weekend.
All right. So then, I know, again, neither of us have trades. It's much easier to say what we do when we don't have them because we don't have to actually put your team on the line. And obviously, if I had trades, I'd be trading a Dacos or a Ridley first and try to get up to 22. But assuming I've got 22 premiums playing and I've got one trade left and I have to dictate where I would use it, obviously there's two strategies. One, if you want to play it safe, you think you've got the better team in the matchup head to head, or if you've got you're playing for a Hail Mary to climb up the ranks, or your team you think is worse, how would I use that trade? And I still think I'm a Marshall to Gorn with that Swans matchup with my final trade. How would you use yours in either scenario, that playing it safe or if you needed to take a risk?
I think looking at my team, I think it would be Darcy Cameron, to be honest. I think he's probably the one that, out of my 22, that is going to potentially score the worst. I think he's the one that I would move off, just given that Cox has sort of dominated that ruck role on the weekend. So I'd be moving him on, and like, if I had the cash, obviously get a Butters against Richmond with that easy matchup. In my situation, I wouldn't be looking at Tex. I'd certainly be playing it safe, but I think if I didn't have Cameron, I already had Butters sitting there. I think I'd fall in line with what you're thinking and sort of go that Marshall to Gorn route. Obviously, if I had a Sarong instead of a Brayshaw, which I think I was tossing up between the two when I brought in Andy, that's obviously a very clear move as well.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I also own Cameron, but I've got him on the bench as a loop, so I didn't see him as a trade. But if he was my sixth forward, then yeah, definitely he's the one who's unders. But then again, he's got Essendon at the moment. If Cox is the main ruckman, he's the main forward, and he gets that Jesse Hogan deep forward role, who knows what Darcy Cameron can dish up. So let's look at those matchups then, because the all-important captaincy, and as anyone who listens to this knows that if you're in the unfavourable matchup in your grand final, or if you're trying to play catch up, potentially go a bit unique with your captains. But how will you look to use your captain VC this week, Tommy?
It's actually a pretty tough week. Again, they've been tough weeks lately. The Doggies boys are always the clear standouts, I think. And I've probably got it wrong in terms of the one that I would go. I think in Timmy English's defence, obviously the 140 plus in fairness is indicative of how much he got his hand to it. I think he attended 95 plus ruck contests as well and had 50 something hit out. So if he went at his typical 33-35% hit out to advantage, that would have been an absolute monster score. And then obviously coming up against the ruckless Geelong, I think that's the direction that I will go. So I can VC him with Angwin. In terms of I think the VC makes sense on him. And then in terms of the captain, it's really hard. I'd love to go Dawson up against West Coast. But I think it might be a Rosie for me up against Richmond. Obviously, they don't tag. It's a pretty easy matchup for mids. They should have their way with it at Adelaide. So I'll probably go in the Rosie direction. And I'd love to have Butters there because I think he's probably the most likely to go massive on the weekend.
Yeah, they're two good shouts. I just don't know what it is. You look at their scores, the two of them, over the year, and if you didn't have their names next to them, you think, oh, this is easy, the easy decision versus Richmond. I just feel like I haven't got their trust yet, just yet, a Rosie and a Butters, even though they've been so good for us, because I do have Butters, and I didn't even consider using him. It was, for me, it was a Timmy English into a Jordan Dawson, which we can't do, can we? Because they play the same time. Okay, well, maybe I do have to look at the Butters. Tommy Green's been the safe 120, but I'm probably going to need more than a 120 if I'm giving up a donut. I need to somehow work out to get a 160 to make back that 50 points. So it could be a Zach Butters for me. But as always, when final teams are out, we'll know more about the injuries and that. They'll come out with a trade insights, and I'll put my final thoughts on my captain, vice captain from there. Obviously wishing everyone all the best if they're in a grand final, if they're just shooting for rank or if they're just dwindling out for the rest of the year. Obviously appreciate your support all season. But as mentioned at the top, we'll be doing a wrap-up summary, learnings, early look at next year pod next week to wrap it up. But yeah, thanks for everything. Thanks, Tommy, for your journey. I hope you get that top 100 finish, which will be a nice feather in your cap.
Cheers, mate. And yeah, good luck, everyone. These team sheets in this last round are usually unkind to us. So fingers crossed they aren't too bad. And yeah, everyone has a good week. And hopefully some people win some cash. Likewise, I do as well.
Beauty. Cheers, mate. Magic.